Welcome to this live Bridging the Gap podcasting episode. Super excited to be coming live during I2B. So we're going to run this like a normal podcast, except we have an audience, which I'm super excited about. So I'm excited to be joined by NK. He stands really at the forefront of the rapidly evolving technology industry. As the co-founder and CEO of Constructin, NK is pioneering the future of construction monitoring, bringing simplicity and automation to complex processes across the build timeline. His rich experience weaves together advanced domains such as robotics, computer vision, extended reality, machine learning, artificial intelligence, and the Internet of Things. Welcome to the show, NK.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Really excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, likewise. So I always like to kind of set the groundwork, if you will. How'd you get into the construction industry to begin with?
Great question. And, you know, I have an interesting way that I actually got into this industry because I don't come from a civil engineering background. So 15 years ago, about my first startup, I got into the world of technology with 3D scanning, brain imaging, virtual reality, and motion capture. All these technologies combined. But this was into the medical domain. So, you know, I was fascinated by these technologies and how these could solve different world problems. I started out in the medical domain, then home automation, industrial automation, furniture augmented reality, different startups, different technologies. But all these led to our last startup. In fact, all the three of us were together in the last startup where we were digitizing and creating virtual replicas of entire cities. So that is when we helped city administrators to actually get better visibility and operational control over what is happening. Building code violations, road conditions, green space index, all these were problems that the city faced. But one very interesting problem that we got fascinated by was construction. So cities do a lot of construction and they always had a problem of tracking or understanding what is happening at any point of time. So we applied these tech to actually track different kinds of projects from roads to buildings to different city level administrative blocks. Mm-hmm. And all this led us to the world of construction. Then we made a pivot and we said that, you know, this is more interesting on a global scale to solve. And, you know, since the last 5 years, we are in the world of construction. Specifically, it's been a little over 2 years since we started Construct10.ai.
Very nice. Very nice. What was it about construction that kind of gripped you, coming from the medical side? What gets you excited about construction?
Yes. So one thing that got us really excited was, you know, I mean, this is the physical world that we are living in. It's so complex. Every project is different. And, you know, there's no standard templatization you can apply for everything. But if you look at the basic premise, the world around us is actually three-dimensional. But we believed for far too long, we are trying to understand it in 2D. And especially me, right? I could never understand by looking at a floor plan individually how that building or how that structure looks. Mm-hmm. Because my mind works in 3D for far too long. So that actually said, you know, okay, there are great opportunities for simplifying the way some of the things are monitored, especially some of the large projects that we do, like airports, data centers, these kinds of projects, it becomes super difficult to track, for example, the amount of curtain drops installed. The curtain rod drops installed, for people to be going in and manually counting it is super tough and inefficient. And we thought we could bridge that gap by actually bringing in technology and AI to simplify the way some of the things are actually monitored and done. So we say, you know, people are great at solving problems, you know, coordinating, talking with stakeholders. But, you know, why can't AI be that assistant to them, which gives them all the insights automatically? So that was the basic premise. And that's how we actually got into construction and fascinated by it ever since.
Yeah, I like it. And bonus points for already bringing in the Bridging the Gap name pretty early in there. So well done. So let's start with kind of the origin of founding Constructin. How'd that come about? And then how does the platform leverage automation and AI to benefit the construction sector?
Perfect, Todd. So let me take you back like to a little over 2 years now. Now, the hypothesis what we started was, you know, again, we were doing a bit of construction monitoring with the cities in mind. But then we realized that, you know, this individually is a huge problem and, you know, all our focus needs to go in there. Mm-hmm. But then even before we started building, because we know how the technology is and, you know, we can really build the technology. The first 6 months, what we exclusively did was, you know, just have interviews. We were reaching out to people on LinkedIn and, you know, luckily or unluckily, this was a COVID time. So people gave us time, actually. Mm-hmm. So we would reach out to them on LinkedIn. And these are large general contractors that we actually targeted at first. And all we said was, you know, we have some questions. We need some feedback. We are not showing you anything. We are not selling anything. And, you know, this led to the first foundations of it. Because we had close to 200 interviews, if I'm not wrong. And these 200 interviews, we found the common set of problems across. The number one problem that we found was, you know, data was siloed. Today in reality capture, for example, you have different modes of capturing reality. From drones, 360 cameras, iPhone with LiDAR, terrestrial laser scanners. And now you have this augmented reality glasses as well, which are quite capable of capturing data with the Apple Vision Pro, right? But we found all these solutions were right now too disparate. There were 7 to 10 different solutions just in the reality capture stack of these general contractors. And these data were so siloed, they were not talking to each other. Now, this led to the second problem, actually. Data being siloed and not comprehensive enough led that, you know, it could not be leveraged. So the amount of data captured to the amount of data leveraged or used, there was a huge gap. Mm-hmm. And this we felt again was a huge opportunity because people are using all this data as a system of record right now, but there's so much potential to use it as a system of intelligence to not only drive positive outcomes on that project, but all on future projects. And number three, the hypothesis that we got validated by having these discussions was, majority of the solutions being used currently were not scalable, as in, you know, you could use it on one-off projects, but not the 200 projects across the organization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could only use it on a certain type of projects, for example. So we said there's an opportunity because when you're working with a large general contractor who does 250 projects at any point of time, and these range from, you know, multifamily to airports, data centers, hospitals, commercial, all of these. So we said, you know, there has to be a unified stack that works across that makes it actually scalable. So that became our success metric as well. Mm-hmm. So these hypotheses we went on and then we actually started building. So we started with that hypothesis, got it validated and started building. So that's how we started.
Yeah, I love that. I love the well thought out kind of methodical nature that you guys went about that and asking for feedback right from the beginning and getting that input. That's huge. I want to drill in on the data silo because this comes up a lot. You know, that there's so much data out there now on a construction project that they're just kind of getting the onslaught of incoming information. How do you encourage people to think about really bridging the gap between, as you mentioned, the data captured versus data leveraged? How should they build that into their strategy?
Yes. So I generally have three recommendations for this. The first part is, you know, all your data ideally should be in one place. It should be actually talking to each other, mm-hmm. be it any form of capture, right? Be it a robotic dog, which is walking on site and capturing data automatically, to drones, to laser scanners, or to people walking on site with their phones and 360 cameras. Mm-hmm. My first thing is, you know, all this data should be in one place for you to able to leverage that data. Because think about it. What is this data? This is your job site monitoring. And, you know, if it exists in 10 different systems and 10 different places which are not talking to each other, how would you leverage that? How would you drive your better outcomes forward? So that is number one. Number two, the question you need to ask is, you know, how automated the system is or how powerful the AI engine is, how capable it is to actually identify elements of interest, even without prior training is the best case, or with minimal, very, very minimal prior training. That is, you know, it should be adaptable and scalable to a wide amount of projects. And these could be objects like, you know, a conduit, a wall outlet, a plumbing line, two cable trays. Anything that is of interest in a job site should ideally be trained to be recognized. And if your AI engine is powerful enough, you know, it should be able to not only quantify that, which is telling you the counts, lengths, areas, and volumes of all the elements installed, but also it should be able to qualify that. That, you know, is it of the right quality and is it installed to the right dimensions and the right location? If this is there, right, I mean, this alone would be a huge barrier. I mean, the amount of data that you can leverage to drive your projects forward would be phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So how do you use AI then to kind of monitor the data and then use it to learn from all the past projects and past data to give you really good concrete insights into how to adapt and pivot moving forward?
Perfect, Todd. Great question. And, you know, this is where I'll actually show you something live as well on how our AI engine works. Because, you know, we are very, very transparent. And, you know, also we want to set the right expectations of what AI can do and what AI cannot do as well. Now, before I actually show it to you live, one thing I wanted to talk to you about was the different components where we use AI. For us, the first part is, you know, we collect imageries or videos basically from different data sources and combine it together to reconstruct an accurate half-inch 3D model of the entire site. Now, be it from any data source, right? Be it a drone, be it a 360 camera, be it your iPhone LiDAR, we need to combine it together, fuse it together via sensory fusion to get that half-inch level accuracy. Because only if it is measurable and accurate enough, then your AI can actually go ahead and automate it. So that is the first part where AI comes in. The second part where AI comes in our system is registration, right? You have done a scan like 1 week back and now you did another 360 degree scan. All these scans have to be registered and integrated together. You have to be in perfect sync for it together to actually be able to track the elements or observe for changes over time. That is the second part. The third part, again, this is an important use case from the privacy point of view, is removing people or anything you can identify with. So you need to actually mask out people, mask out symbols, mask out anything that you can recognize the objects. And we are, you know, being GDPR compliant, this becomes one of the core requirements. So that is one part where AI comes in. And finally, the most important part is identifying the objects that we want to track.
Yeah, very cool. So how does the integration then of the visual data source change the way construction projects are visualized and delivered then a component of that? What are some of the biggest challenges that are faced in integrating all this kind of disparate data into construction processes?
Right. So this is again, right, a question which we gave it a lot of thought. And, you know, these became our design principles. So there were three design principles what we built out of. It was speed, accuracy, and cost. So we always thought, you know, if you have the right balance between speed, accuracy, and cost, you can build a system and deploy a system which is truly scalable with large general contractors. So what we did was, and, you know, right now, just to mention that, right, because of the way we built our system, and because we have been able to get the right balance between speed, accuracy, and cost, it's not only this large general contractors on large projects where we become applicable, but even right now, some of our customers or partners are using us in renovation of single family homes. Like, you know, these are $100,000 projects actually. But we become super applicable because of this design principles that we worked out. And just to expand on that a little bit, right? So the challenges were these, right? There were some solutions which were which were really fast, but not accurate enough. Or which were like, if you use laser scanners all the time, super costly because, you know, the equipment itself is very costly. You generate a lot of data, which again becomes costly to manage, but you get accuracy, you don't get the speed. So you can never maintain the balance between these three things. And we thought sensory fusion is the only way to go to get this right balance. So that is where we started with. And when we actually went ahead, what we realized was because of this, what is now possible is like on-demand analytics. I'll tell you one of the simplest challenges that we have been seeing our partners having on job sites. So say, let's take a large factory floor, right? And then a lot of overhead MEP elements going on. And let's talk about a simple thing like duct. Now, to understand how much work has happened in the last month, if I were to ask any superintendent or project manager, people would say 80%. The foreman would say 80% of work installed. And this 80%, in most cases, right, I would not say all cases, but in most cases would be very subjective. Because you would not go and measure with a measuring tape of how much exactly has been installed. It's like humanly very inefficient to do that. But imagine the scenario where you have actually captured the site, you have converted it to accurate 3D model, and your AI engine has actually segmented that 3D model out to understand that it's 800 linear feet of ductwork installed out of the total 1,000 feet, and so it is 80%. And Imagine this being seen on a 2D floor plan itself, without needing BIM, without needing too many complexities. This would simplify the entire process, and this is where we have actually been seeing very positive results. Like, you know, the elements that we are tracking need not be designed or modeled as well. They need not be present in the BIM. They need not be present in the 2D drawing. This could be something like the backing elements in the wall. But if you are able to see it, we say that, you know, if you see it, you capture it, you should be able to measure and track it. So that is how we are actually working on simplifying the entire process and automating construction monitoring.
The industry is struggling with a communication problem and a lack of interoperability. This is causing 25% of data being recreated and almost $300 billion loss due to bad communication. Great Tech Group believes that is a problem. So they created Data Connect, an easy-to-use, no-code platform that connects critical ERP systems with cost management to form a single source of truth to empower better communication, decision-making, and project efficiency, delivering the ultimate business outcome of being on time and on budget. Visit asti.com/dataconnect to start saving time and money.
So digging into that from a kind of big picture perspective, how should the construction industry think about automation and ways that they can streamline their processes? How should they go about thinking about this?
Got it. See, one thing I would actually state on record over here, specifically, construction industry has a bad name with the McKinsey report and all that, right? You would know this, that construction industry is the least digitized industry of them all and all that. But I have a different take over there. As I was telling you all this while, I feel the amount of technology being used on a construction site, I mean, on an average large project, I have seen about 300 different software applications being used. I mean, imagine 300 applications, right? I have not seen it in any other industry. I told you the different industries that I have been a part of as well. So the problem is not lack of technology. The problem is technology that is too siloed, too fragmented, that doesn't talk to each other. And, you know, there's a huge learning curve involved in each of these parts. So again, we understood that from the very start. And, you know, all this came from our learnings, right? We were having conversations, we were talking, and all what we do, the first 1 year at least, all we did was move from job site to job site. Mm-hmm. Just on job sites to understand how people are using technology. Can technology really solve these problems? And that gave us great insights on, you know, how technology can actually seamlessly fit into their existing workflows and not actually cause them too much of learning or too much of onboarding to start with. So we realized very early on, and again, we were very fortunate to work with some of the largest general contractors, like one of them is Hensel Phelps, who started to work with us as a design partner. They are now an enterprise level partner with us, scaling up to 100 projects by the end of this year. But, you know, the first thing they did was they gave us access. They said, you know, visit all our sites across from Hawaii to East Coast, West Coast, mid, all the different zones, and just learn on how people are using technology. Talk to the field, talk to the VDC teams. And again, super, super helpful in that sense. Mm-hmm. So now we realize that, you know, this is actually naturally fitting into their workflow. We are not taking the control away from the project managers, but we are actually giving them more control, more visibility. They are the ones ultimately making the decisions, but we are enabling them to make faster, smarter, more accurate decisions. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is a long answer to your question, actually, Todd, and I hope I was able to clear that.
No, it's great. I love that you brought up that there's more technology here in construction than kind of what meets the eye at first glance, because it, honestly, it's a frustration of mine when people say that there isn't tech and innovation in construction, because I just don't see that being the case. I think that there's way more technology, way more innovation happening in this space than what we get credit for. So glad to hear other people kind of championing that message as well too. On the AI front, what's the potential of AI coming in to help kind of transform project management, progress tracking, and construction? And does that hold the key maybe to the interoperability aspect of kind of those disparate softwares that you mentioned?
Very true, Todd. You know, AI has the potential to not only talk to the disparate data sets, but it has a potential to unlocking some of the key benefits or the key value propositions of any project monitoring solutions, right? Mm-hmm. Especially two things that AI can do very well, which is inefficient for humans to do, is quantifying and qualifying. So when I say quantifying, right, say it's a 40 feet, and this is one of our job sites, a 40 foot ceiling, and there are 1,000 curtain rod drops present over there. Now, these are very minute elements, and, you know, even a person walking on the ground, a foreman walking on the ground and counting, you know, how many rod drops are there, it's very difficult, very impractical, very inefficient. It will take so much time and you will never get the right data. Now, imagine a robot or a person walking and just capturing the data, an AI engine telling there are 1,065 rod drops actually present in this area, and I'll mark them, highlight it on the floor plan. And the floor plan may not even have the rod drop locations, but you are actually generating it. Mm-hmm. Now, that is one very, very simple and powerful use case. And this could be for any element, right? So it could be lengths, it could be areas, it could be volumes of a stockpile, for example. It could be the count of your outlets. This is the first part. This is the quantification part where AI can play a huge task. Things like your pay apps can be validated much faster, much easier, and everyone can be on the same page with objective data, right? There's no subjectivity anymore. The second very interesting part where AI can create a huge value is on the qualification part. Like qualitatively, yes, you have installed something over here. Is it installed to the right specifications, right dimensions, to the right place? Like we are also working on an infrastructure project, and I'll quote this example. This is a cross-country water pipeline. And generally, again, right, it can happen due to human error or forcibly due to some other reasons as well, that instead of a 10-inch pipe, you start using an 8-inch pipe. Now, again, qualification, AI can do a very good job of auto-identifying it because, you know, it may be missed by people. Again, no one will go and measure everything. And also the second case is, you know, a duct being installed. The duct is, say, 6 inches off where it's supposed to be installed. And that can create a future clash with a cable tray that is supposed to come over there. Mm-hmm. Now, this, again, AI can do a very, very good job. Just ingest your BIM model, ingest your 3D reality capture, and automatically tell, you know, yes, you have deviated. normal case, the deviation would have been fine. But because of this deviation, there is a potential clash that is coming. So these two areas, I say, you know, your reworks get avoided, which is the most potential reason for projects getting over budget and over schedule. So catch mistakes early before they become earlier, you know, costly reworks is one super application I see that AI can solve today.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'd love to get some audience thoughts as well too on this. I know AI usually, it's a hot topic right now. So if you guys have used AI in some form or fashion, can you give me like the clappy emoji or put it in the live chat? Would love to see, just kind of get a gauge on who's listening as well too. Maybe wake them up a bit too as we take the second half. All right, so we got some clappy hands going. All right, so we got some AI users here. It's an AI friendly audience. That makes sense. NK, how should people maybe think differently? Oh, lots of clappy hands now. How should people think differently about AI if they're in the office versus if they're in the field? Is there one that's more easily applicable or potential in both areas in your mind?
Right. So I heard this from one of our partners, basically, and this was on stage. And they say, you know, you have to imagine AI to be that little yellow minions who are actually helping you do all the boring tasks that you would not want to do. I think that's the best way to understand and comprehend AI, right? Because think about it. On the field, there's so many problems you're solving. You're firefighting, you're doing coordination, you're doing all that. But, you know, if you have this AI tools actually helping you, being your assistant and taking a heavy load out of your regular tasks, and you focus more on the tasks where you can add value. That is where I see. And I want AI to be largely used on the field more than the office. That's what I'm actually pushing on. That's why I'm, you know, as a company, all of us are actually going from field to field, job site to job site, just to drive that adoption, say that, you know, this is more of your friend and not an additional work that you are having to do. That is a small convincing that people need right now. But once they see that in action, right, they already are seeing to believe. And I see, right, again, to my point, I believe this is a tech forward industry, just that the right tech has not been, you know, especially on the field level, you have not seen the right tech, which is simple and automated yet. So that's a huge potential. And that's what we are striving towards.
Yeah. You got a agreement from the audience there too. I saw the 100% going up a couple times. I love the thinking of AI as the minion walking around and being a helpful tool. I fullheartedly in agreement with that. A question came in on the chat that I want to pull in. Is AI anything more than just Chat GPT?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so strange, right? Over the last 1 year, the world of AI has completely transformed. And, you know, we have to give credit to OpenAI and Chat GPT for majority of that. But Chat GPT or LLMs, right? These all come under large language models. These are specifically one part of what AI is capable of doing. All the examples of AI that I talked about today were in fact very far away from what ChatGPT does, or you know what it's capable of. Especially 3D vision and AI combined together, like, you know, quantifying or qualifying reality, the two parts that I talked about, they come from 3D vision and AI working together. So you are creating a 3D replica of the physical space that you are in, and you are actually able to measure everything, segment everything, classify everything precisely. So yes, AI is much, much beyond ChatGPT. But obviously, ChatGPT has made AI mainstream over the last 1 year. So we have to give it credit. And imagine it, both of these combined together, a large language model and 3D vision, for example. And I'll give you a small thing that even we are working on. You should be able to ask the system, like, what is the ductwork installed on level one by this subcontractor between 1st of January to 30th of January? And you know, AI shows you the 3D part basically. You're just giving it a prompt. No dashboards, no big reports, no Power BIs, all of that. A simple chatbot, you ask that question and the system actually pops that out. Now that is a vision towards what we are building towards. So mm-hmm. we have one part of it yet. The second part of it will come.
Yeah, very cool. Ankit just put a great question in the chat as well too. How can I expect this AI that you are talking about to help my team execute better on the job site?
Excellent question, actually. And you know, ultimately any technology should actually help you execute better, save time, save costs. Only then it actually becomes mainstream and adopted. So one of the basic reasons where I see it becomes better is, you know, you're not only documenting the job site, but all the mundane tasks like, you know, quantifying how much work has been installed, or, you know, checking whether things have been installed at the right place or not. Say the system is actually guiding you and the project executors or the people on the ground are only acting on those insights to drive better outcomes. So I would say this would even from day zero of implementation of such technologies, you would start seeing benefits. You would start seeing better coordination, better execution, and lesser reworks happening on site. So that itself would actually justify using such technology, and you would see more and more adoption coming from the field. We have, mm-hmm. I mean, the field people have been giving us great insights. Like, you know, now I can track the utilities and know precisely where the utility lines are placed outside or inside the building before, you know, even after we cover them up, I exactly know where they are at. So all this leads to better execution, better transparency, and better visibility.
Yeah, I love that you're putting a lot of emphasis on the field as well, too. You know, a lot of times when it comes to technology and software, they can be kind of put off to the side in the conversation, when that's a big mistake, because if the field's not successful and bought into the technology, good luck. You know, it's going to make it a lot harder to get that really integrated in. One of the things that comes up when you're talking with the field and AI is this: how much of a threat should I view AI coming for my job? What do you say in response to that conversation?
The only thing I say is, you know, AI is very far away from replacing human jobs. It's very, very far away. But what will happen is, and this again, right, this has been said multiple times in multiple forums, I'm just repeating it. It will never be AI replacing a human. It's a person embracing AI who will replace someone who has not. Mm-hmm. So because, you know, a person who has embraced AI would become more efficient. They would execute better. And I believe that, you know, every one of us should upskill ourselves basically to understand how I can use AI to become more efficient for myself for doing whatever, mm-hmm. right? Today, design, you know, there's some great AI tools for design. There's some great AI tools across the entire spectrum of construction, from pre-construction to operations and maintenance. So mm-hmm. I would say, you know, it would be super important to be educated on it. AI will never take your job, but a person who knows AI, who implements AI and is more efficient with it, will probably do.
Agree again, 100%. Yeah, construction has always been changing, even though we like to think of it as it's been pretty stagnant. It's not true. As with everything in life, change is a constant. So it's the people that are able to find those kind of 1% improvements and see the new wave coming and adapt and figure it out and, you know, kind of harness it instead of fighting it. Those are the people that progress and move on to, you know, bigger, better opportunities and stuff. So you got to have that willingness and open mind for sure. Looking forward, how do you see automation and AI really continuing to evolve in construction? And are there any other kind of emerging technology trends that we should be aware of?
Great question, Todd. And, you know, there's so many of them, right? There's so many technology. I'm just excited with the world of, you know, how this world is moving, how technology is moving, and what can be applied. To answer your first part of your question, automation and AI in the world, and, you know, you just talked about it as well, that 1% increment. happening consistently. I think that is the right definition for innovation as well. Continuous improvement, even a 1% improvement that happens on a daily or a weekly basis, can lead to tremendous increase on both your bottom line efficiencies, you being able to deliver more jobs with less people, all of that, right? So there's tremendous application, and we have put heavy bets on this one right now, both automation and AI. And I see a world, at least 1-2 years down the line, where people would say that, how did I work without AI on my job site? I mean, what was the world like before? It's like, what is the world of smartphone? How did the world without smartphones exist? We always question that, right? We just can't stay without our smartphones. I say AI will become as ubiquitous, automation will become as ubiquitous as that. So I'm very, very bullish on that prospect, actually. The next question on the do you think so too, Todd?
I do. I agree. Yep.
And the next thing, right, on emerging technologies, the world of robotics, the world of augmented reality, these are getting so prevalent, basically. And we waited for quite some time, the Apple coming out with the Apple Vision Pro. When Apple Vision Pro comes out, it means that you don't need Apple Vision Pro on the job site. Your iPads and your smartphones, your iPhones, can do so much more with augmented reality. Build things right the first time so that you don't have to verify it. Such powerful use cases, actually. Verify your design in real time. Again, a very powerful use case. Automatic painting robots, automatic, you have your framing robots. There's so many different kinds of robots. And I can go on this, Todd. There are so many exciting things happening. And, many of these people in the startup community are our friends. They're doing amazing things. It just blows my mind the way construction industry is progressing right now with all these technologies.
Yeah, absolutely. We got one last question in the chat, and then we're going to wrap up with a couple rapid fire questions. Is there another layer of AI to check AI calculations? And do you think it would be needed, especially when designing building structures?
Yes. So another layer of AI is to check the first level of calculations. Is that, in fact, you need to have that fail-safe mechanism, basically, just to have a validation. But I would add one thing on top of it is, it's not only AI checking AI, but ultimately it has to be humans, like someone behind the AI actually validating whatever results that the AI is actually showing you. For it to get accurate also, your feedback is more important. So, how you actually give the input back to the AI engine saying that, this is right, this is wrong, actually goes back to the training, making the system more and more intelligent. So it's more than AI validating AI. I would say it's humans validating that AI and having that feedback loop in so that, your systems become more and more intelligent over time.
Yeah. It has to be a partnership between humans and AI for it to work and truly reach that enhancement promise that everybody talks about. I am going to fit in one more question from the chat because this is a good one. This is from Carl. What potential challenges do you see in the widespread adoption of AI?
Yeah, the number one challenge right now, and this is something very, very new, right? It's all evolved over the last 1 year, is the compliances and the policies that need to exist. Mm-hmm. Europe has come up with their own policy. The construction industry is everyone, right? Everyone is actually grappling or very wary of, where should we use AI? The governance related to AI, the compliances related to AI. Like, using ChatGPT as an example, right? You have your PDFs, your schedules, your drawings, which a general contractor or a large construction company, a small construction company, considers their IP. Now, how comfortable are you hosting this IP on some other system, basically? Now, there will be so many frameworks, so many governances, so many compliances coming in. And, people need to understand and get comfortable with some of it. It's not necessary that I'm not asking anyone to just send all your data to some random site and potentially go to your competitors as well. No, you should be wary of where the data is stored, how the data is being governed. But we should let some of those inhibitions, away as well. We should be more open. And I think with this, over the next 1 year or 2 years, where, governances and compliances become more common, people will start adopting it a lot more. I say, it's more of being wary, like being aware of what is happening with the engine, and being less intimidated by it will open up more adoption.
Yeah, that governance is a huge question, Mark, of how do we do this well, and how do we get consistency, really, and build the trust. I think once you start to solve that, then the trust in the actual AI tool will for sure grow. I think that's the biggest kind of question mark that people have right now. So we got a couple minutes left before we get the wrap up sign. So kind of rapid fire questions for you as we end here. What does the phrase modeling the future, what does that mean and look like to you?
Nice. So modeling the future, for me, it would mean in the world of construction, if I was specifically speaking, I would say systems becoming more intelligent and driving collaboration between various facets, basically. So your field and office being in complete synergy with each other. Mm-hmm. And that is one way, what I would say is bridging the gap towards modeling the future, right? Again, I'm using that. So I would say today there is, again, a lot of disconnect, basically. The office team works in 3D, the field team in 2D, and there is your reality that is happening. I say everything connected, everything synergized, people in one view, that itself will model a whole together different future for us.
Awesome. You brought this up a bit earlier, but you had maybe a vision of where I was going to go with one of my rapid fire questions. What does innovation mean to you?
Oh, wow. And I'll say that 1% increment, right? We had this conversation. That 1% consistent, the mindset that, we have to improve. We have to try something new. Let us innovate. That is that improvement. And, sometimes some steps that you take may be innovative, but might not work. But you, again, taking quick action, saying that, this was the intent. This is why we started it. This is the increment. This is not the increment, So making consistent steps to drive even that 1% increment, I would say, is innovation.
Yeah, you got a lot of agreement from the crowd again on that answer. How do people find out more information and connect with you, NK?
Perfect. So you can find us on LinkedIn. We are Construct N. I am NK Chaitanya. So, I go by NK. So you can always reach out. Chaitanya@construction.ai is our email ID. Would always love to have conversations and exchange ideas. So always open for it.
Awesome. Well, final question for you. If I could give you all construction power, you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing in the industry, what would you pick to innovate?
The exact same thing what we are building right now, Todd. The world where, the field team, the office team, the CEO, every stakeholder of the project are in perfect synergy, perfect alignment. They are all looking at the same thing, know the same thing, and taking the right decisions to move things forward. This is the world I anticipate, and this is the world we are building towards.
Awesome. I love it. Very great. NK, thanks so much for taking the time and chatting about automation and AI. Super fascinating. I know we just were kind of scratching the surface on a lot of it, but thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd. I really had fun while having this conversation. Thank you.
And now it's time for my Todd takes from this episode. First take: bridging the gap between captured data and its actual use is crucial for efficiency. Leveraging data effectively can drive better outcomes, reducing the need for rework and increasing overall project efficiency. Take two: automation represents the future of the construction industry, promising significant advancements in productivity. Embracing automated processes can streamline operations from planning to execution, leading to more efficient project completion. And finally, AI, as NK likened it to the little minion helper, is taking on undesirable tasks to facilitate a smoother operation.
Its vast potential in construction offers a transformative approach, enabling professionals to focus on high-value activities while AI handles the mundane aspects. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you are interested in learning more, you can visit our sponsor, Applied Software, Gray Tech Group, at ASTI.com for more information. You can listen to this podcast anytime by simply going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out our website, bridgingthegappod.com. As always, I'm Todd Wyant, thanking you for joining the conversation to model the future on the Bridging the Gap podcast. Keep innovating. Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyant. Edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Gray Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Gray Tech Group 2024.